The topic that came up for tonight is what's really happening to family life. And it's I'll just give you this much background that's come up, as I implied at the announcement tonight, in discussions with some of the younger people who are here on staff, who are talking about whether or not family is in their future to be heading or having a family, whether they want to, whether they should, what's the advantages and disadvantages in their life. And then also, of course, again and again, the differences in between where they are and where their parents are in understanding what family life is about. Some of those seem to be very great, some of those seem to be very minimal, but at least people were talking about it. And then a couple of times it was hinted at in some of the discussions we had during the weeks about last couple of weeks about other things. And so we thought maybe it was something to sit around and chat about for a while tonight. So, what's really happening with family life as far as you're concerned? Anybody willing to lead off?
I think there's sort of a, in some cases, not every case, but there are some cases of the disintegration of the extended family where, you know, aunts, uncles, like in the 19th century, and great-grandparents were a close-knit unit. But that, as more people come in, the old-fashioned extended family seems to be coming away of the past, and I think more and more young people now feel that they no longer have the obligation to take care of their aged parents as they did in the 19th century, so they dump them in and nursing homes and let them die in neglect.
Okay. Now somebody else? The idea is you can respond to what someone else has said, obviously, and ask questions or say an alternate point of view, or you can go in another direction too. But anybody want to respond to what Colin said? I have to keep looking up. I always forget there are folk up there. Go ahead.
I would like to respond to this.
Sure.
And I know that this, I'm a retired pastor working at St. Matthew's with the elderly, and I have been in Portland for almost 35 years. And to start with, I visited old houses in which the elderly were placed and which were very undesirable because they didn't have proper ventilation, they didn't have proper facilities, bathroom and kitchen and all. And I think we did feel as though we were placing the elderly right on the shelf. So there has been a very definite change in this, for which I'm glad, as far as the church has built new homes, modern, with chaplains generally, with activity programs, with therapy programs. And so that I think we can feel that somewhere along the line, whether it was the children of the parents, or whether it was the church, or whether it was the state, or whether it was all of us together, maybe all of us together, are doing a lot more for our aged, if this is what we're thinking of as a part, at least, of our family.
Okay. Someone else? Oh, please.
I'm off on a completely different tack. But,
go ahead.
10 years ago, people used to say to me, we have 6 children. All of mine have a beautiful family. Yes, I love them. And I think we still have a beautiful family. But all our children are going in different ways. And I'm seeing in them what you said you were seeing in the young people here. Should we have a family? Do we want to establish a home? This sort of thing. I don't know where the family is going. I do think that for the world's sanity, we have to have families. This is the integral unit that's going to hold sanity of the world together.
Okay. Sure.
I'm not going to say anything about the old folks.
Go in any direction you want.
I'm going to turn the direction, if I can, a little back to the children.
Okay.
As I noticed it in my work, families used to be so that children had a contact in a sort of a vertical way with the old folks and with mom and uncles and aunts and other smaller children and so forth. And their associations were in the hired girl, hired man, and they had jobs to do around the house, bring in the wood and the water and things like that. So they had sort of a contact in a vertical sort of way. But now, the associations that the children have are all on the same level. Fourth grade kids associating with fourth grade kids, and sixth grade kids with sixth grade kids, and high school kids with sixth high school kids. They don't have the up and down sort of association. I think that's one of the things that has caused some of our problems with family, if we have problems.
You want to say which, obviously you seem to say that the vertical would be better. Do you want to say why?
I think it's better because it makes a cohesion. They're growing. They're changing from one to the other. And instead of just being on the same level with this same, moving along with this same group all the time, they don't get the association that they should have with those that are older and helping with those that are younger.
Someone want to respond to that?
I talk about the older and the younger a little bit because I happen to be right in the middle of the family.
Right. Good one, good one.
I'm the beginning of the last seven.
All right. Someone else?
Well, along with that problem we face a lot in the western suburbs of Chicago is this incredible affluence and the effect that it has on children.
Sounds like really. DuPage County.
Close. LaGrange Park.
All right,
Chicago.
LaGrange Park,
right. LaGrange and LaGrange Park in Western Springs. We have lots of friends in there. And they're really spoiled rotten. That sounds terrible to say, but they are. It's unbelievable. Kids throwing temper tantrums over not getting third cookies after a meal. It's nuts. It really is.
Probably related to this, Elmer. We're holding the duty ahead of everything else, but President Carter is scheduling a White House conference, of course, with the family in December 2009. Or did you introduce that before you came?
No, it didn't. Go ahead, Theo.
As some of you may not know, President Carter, when he was running for office, expressed great concern for the deterioration of the family. And he called on an attorney in Washington to prepare a report for him. This attorney was named Joseph Califano. And he did prepare a report for him, and he drew the conclusion, a disturbing one. He said that the family breakdown was due to unemployment and inadequate income. And he said, we got to get a conference. And that's for that reason, then, he developed this conference. And I thought this group might be interested in what conclusions were drawn by William Raspberry, the editorial writer. He said that if they think that, this conference is due for failure. Because he says that isn't the root cause.
Yeah.
He says all you have to do is examine the relationship of the divorce rate and income. And you'll find out, he said, that it isn't true. He says the root cause is that too many husbands and wives regard their family as of secondary importance. Their number one priority is themselves and their own personal growth, their own fulfillment, their own emancipation. And their family be damned if they get in the way. It's me first. That's what William Raspberry said.
Somebody want to respond?
I certainly agree with this woman over here that we really do need to save the family lifestyle.
Can you all hear? Go ahead.
And I have a daughter 19 and a son 21, so you'll know where I'm coming from. And I was speaking with a woman tonight after dinner, and she was saying that one of her children is grown and married, and that probably they won't have any children. They're both very successful in what they do and have a great life ahead to look forward to. But I'll tell you that if my children don't give me grandchildren, I'm really going to be upset. And I think that probably most of your parents feel the same way. And it's kind of emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say something else later.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Someone else?
I'd like to add just a little. I helped her raise the six. Not very much. I helped her a little bit.
Sort of a visitor, huh?
I had a rather strange job myself. I worked with a child neglect abuse team in the state of Idaho.
Wow.
So I worked with broken down, lost families until I feel like I need a place back home to get away from for a couple of weeks every year, or maybe twice or three times a year. But I don't know, we keep blaming a segment. I think that the gentleman said over here, if there is any one common factor that people are not associating with peers of their own group, I don't think there's another place in the world where there will be a group of us get together. I'm most of us are up in years here, but for the most part here in Holden, there's a group of all different ages, and I think it's definitely the one thing that makes Holden a little bit different. There's a common bond, but it's not age, and it's not background, it's not experience. The point I think that I'm trying to put out, the people that I associate with the neglected kids, abused kids, are people without any association. They have no values. There's nothing important. Alcohol is a big part of it. Pot is some. But most of it is pregnant high school girls. They don't know the difference between a baby and a doll. They get tired of playing with it, they put it in the closet until they're ready to play with it again. Or they leave it with the babysitter and forget to come back after it for a day or two. Seeking companionship and association. They talk about a lot of these people hanging around the bars, being drunk. Well, that's not the case. They hang around the bars for somebody to talk to. Extremely lonesome. And I think we're in really a lonesome society. And we're lonesome for someone who has something to offer other than what we are totally familiar with. Our little group and me. Self-centered.
Yeah. Thank you.
Along with loneliness, I think we've become, we look elsewhere for entertainment. I know when I was out of school and I was at home, we just moved into a new area, I wasn't working, and all of a sudden I was home alone during the day and didn't have anything to do, and no one was making a schedule for me. No one was, I have to be living quite a ways from other people too. Ultimately, I realized, hey, I have to find my own way to entertain myself and to make my time productive. My time wasn't unproductive because there wasn't other people there. It was because I wasn't using it. And I think we've forgotten how to, within a family group, entertain ourselves so that we've gone out with people like classmates or friends we know maybe are more like their own age, and we've lost how to entertain each other and be silly together and have fun and take time. I think that really is good. Take time. Hmm.
I saw Walt Capps in the back room before, and I couldn't help but think about his lecture today or yesterday, in which he said that possibly the symbol for the age in which we live is the problem, and that one of the problems is that we always assume we have problems, and that people are spending more time analyzing the problem than doing well, what he was saying in the vestments tonight of affirming the unity of all the things that are going on, of all those people up and down and all that. So I'm raising a question, how much is this problem one that we are manufacturing and saying, boy, it's a problem? And that leads me to say, next down the pike, if I get a chance after all, is, well, what are we doing about all this? Are we doing anything? I don't mean who's organized what, but what are we, people in this room, doing about it? But the first question is this a problem because we're labeling it a problem?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's a problem, and very obvious. And I think the idea of the extended family being, you know, disappearing is one of the causes of the problem. And the mobility of our society is partly that. And most families get separated by many, many miles now, instead of being in a nucleus. But I was just thinking that here is a challenge to the church family, to be the extended family for each other. And especially those who are, you know, maybe a one-parent family or something, that we could feel a responsibility.
Well, not just the church family, but good old neighbors, too.
Well, yes. Right. Community, family.
You really feel it when you move away from your family and you don't have any family, they're in another state, and all of a sudden you turn to your friends and they become your family, and it's surprising how much family there is in friends.
I couldn't help but wonder, well, how come extended family is always good and smaller family is always bad? I know some extended families that were a mess. They just had more people to fight with. They were on each other's neck all the time, and you had to put up with a drunk uncle all the time. You couldn't get rid of him. And sometimes that's not the best, is it?
I'm sure I would take the time I spend with my mother on our maybe twice annual visits much more for granted than I do that we see each other for maybe 2 weeks out of 52. We value that time together, and our differences or points that we don't agree on tend to play a minor role if we think to just enjoying each other. And if she's already making plans when the grandchildren are old enough of having them all fly back and spend a week at her house. And so there's still going to know cousins and grandparents and things, and it's sort of fun having them. You know, there's a depth to our relationship, I'm sure, but there wouldn't be if we, whether it be other things, would probably be deeper.
Someone else? Yeah.
Well, sometimes I feel as though maybe we don't know how to love anymore. That we haven't seen the role of a parent and the mother loving us. And sometimes people who reach out that are not our family, and we call it extended family, they do reach out and show us what it means to love. And I think that's what Holden has a spirit of. It's such a spirit of acceptance and openness. And that's what I think crosses the age. That it's here.
Yes, please.
The one thing that I was thinking about when we talk about problems, one solution that keeps seemingly comes up quite often is that people talk about we've evolved to a situation where we don't need families, that we don't need marriage. That the solution is not to be married and all this, and that if you have children, okay, you know, you're propagating the race and all that. And then we can play with statistics, and it just keeps going around in a big circle. And when I keep going back into my support of the family, of marriage, of not in a situation of living together, goes back to through my faith and through my Bible teaching, which again is very hard to use when anytime you play with statistics or working with total logic, it just goes out the window. And that solution that says, well, we'll just eliminate marriage and that will, you know, just take care of all problems and everything, that just, again, that concept of destroying the family core as we know it is one that is just very, that concept is frightening to me, very much so.
I guess if I had to say, I haven't heard a lot of that. I've heard people say, marriage isn't good for me, and so I'm not going to go into it. Or, I don't think I'm going to be a good parent, so I won't have any children. I've heard many people I know there are some people in writings that. But I'm talking about most of the people that I associate with. I think it's been much more of a personal choice about whether they wanted to get married. Ned, I think it's pretty easy to fight with those, you know, with the folks who are saying it's all gone. But what about the people who are making more individual choices about it? I think that's what maybe you're referring to. It isn't all of your kids, but maybe one or two are saying, well, maybe not.
But that's when I went into college in 67.
Okay.
And that, and then we started getting into the thing about sexuality and the big thing about zero population.
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, really very strong groups and strong feeling of voluntary sterilization and the whole thing. And I remember going through that whole thing of, you know, we're going to overpopulate, and really strong into that. Now, many of my friends who are now 27, 28, and 29 are having, there's this big outbreak of babies, all, you know, with all my college friends. It's just incredible how they've gone through that. But now say, wait a second, we've been married 6-7 years. We want a child. We believe in what we're doing. We believe in a, you know, the family unit, and now they're having it. And, you know, and I think, and most of them are talking about they're going to have their second, and that kind of thing. But I feel a change in the faith.
Yeah, that's accurate. Going back to those years, I think that was right. Very true. Somebody else? Want to react to this? Or we haven't got much from upstairs yet. All the good people up there? Yes?
There's a good side to having alternatives. Perhaps maybe they didn't feel they had on the road, that they were expected to do certain things and expect themselves to do it, and didn't first consider their own personality and what was there for them and what is God's will for them. I think we all have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this freedom or choice and alternatives is not necessarily bad, but it is growing, an opening and a growing time too.
Yes.
I kind of see a little change in trend. You know, this goes, you know, many years back to the present. A change in the trend of the lifestyle, the more or less the hub of our nation, started out primarily as an agricultural. That was the real backbone of the whole thing. And we've changed now more to a specialized industry, more technical type economy, and where agriculture is not non-existent, but it's more or less in the back seat. So you've got the families have changed from being a rural, more or less self-supporting unit, to a, you know, dad works 8 to 5 and so does mom, you know, and both bring home the paychecks, and the kids are after school, you know, up to whatever they are up to. They're not living on the farm, they're not feeding the cattle or, you know, bringing the crops and stuff. See more of an economical possibility there. That's,
I see. Oh, okay. So it's being shaped by the economy too. Okay.
Well, Elmer, I have several fathers.
Sure.
One is a kind of a definition of family, and the other is that we marry a lot of people in Ballard, and. And I really have a hard time as I listen to some of the young people that I marry who are sound, biblically based young people who are not family. And then I meet other young people who are living together. And it has been almost without exception. They are more what I think of as a sharing, growing relationship of family, who are sensitive to people around them, than some of these that we are cranking out in our churches, you know.
or be some response to that?
That just yeah, that's a, you know, that's a, I never really figured that one out yet.
Yeah.
You asked for a return, you nobody else is speaking up from up here.
Oh, I'm sorry, you were speaking.
Yes. Sorry people here.
Yes, by all means. You did well the first time.
And back in the, I'll respond to this and a couple of other comments was made by giving you my sixth law.
Okay.
I did this in the state of Iowa several years ago. I have about 16 laws I developed during my 58 years. And I recently added the sixth law for the Iowa one sometime. And it addresses this issue of emancipation, which we hear a lot about today. I agree that some people, I know some of them, I don't think they ought to ever get married for the sake of the other person that has to live with them. And probably some of them that are married should never have children. I don't argue that point. But you have to look at the reason, and that's what I addressed in my sixth law, which states that personal emancipation is not a panacea. Emphasis on personal emancipation has intensified in this past decade, even in the most profound intellectual circles, and has been instrumental not only in forming the values, but also in governing the lives of the present generation growing up. However, ignorance and stupidity are often manifest in what people regard as emancipation. The problem stems from emancipation's concentration on escaping from bonds, not strengthening them. Emancipation has much more to do with power than with love, except self-love, for the subject of emancipation is self, not the relationship of self to someone else. Although it is loudly pronounced that the relationship between people will be better if the participants have been emancipated, that is not the principal goal. In reality, what unfortunately may result is only self-indulgence, no matter how good the relationship may be. If it gets in the way of self-fulfillment, it's the relationship that must go. In my opinion, it is no coincidence that more people today are living alone, that more couples choose to remain childless, fewer are getting married, and more are getting divorced. Cohabitation for convenience takes the place of commitment. And in the age of emancipation, when there is much talk of a healthy relationship, there appear to be fewer and fewer happy marriages. In my experience, there can be nothing greater in life than the happy human exchange and mutual self-fulfillment, which results when people grow and mature in a lifelong marriage. Certainly, it is one of the great possibilities, perhaps the greatest possibility that life has to offer. It is mysteriously beautiful, indescribably moving, often arresting, and not infrequently dazzling. Its value becomes more indelibly fixed as one becomes cognizant of the finiteness of life and the inevitability of death. Nothing brings the goodness of a lasting relationship, a commitment to someone else, more into focus than that. That's the end of my sixth law.
How about a response? Somebody got a seven? Colin?
Well, I think there's some good points there. if you visit Japan, you will notice that they have still a very strong family life. Young people and the older people are very close together. And you can notice the difference in Japanese youth and American youth. The Japanese boys usually wear ties, they're very well groomed, and the girls wear hats and dresses and look very well groomed. They're polite to strangers, and although Tokyo is the largest city in the world population-wise, it has one of the lowest crime rates. Also, another thing that's very noticeable about Japan is living conditions are extremely crowded. I would say that New York City would probably look like the Australian desert and compare with Tokyo, I mean, there's unbelievable crowded conditions. And some of them are affluent, and yet there are some pockets of some poverty in Japan. Also, we must remember that they went through the torment of practically being bombed into oblivion 30 years ago in World War II.
Yes.
They have rebuilt their society in a way that is quite commendable, and they still have that strong family tie that I think is something we should study, because I think although there are former enemies, to say something like this 30 years ago would have been high treason. I think these people, by their hard work and abilities, have rebuilt a society from the heaps of ruins and ashes. And I think one of the reasons they've done so well is because they have made the family and their traditions, even though non-Christian, the most important parts of their lives.
One man's view of Japan. Anyone else?
I would commend you to look at heaven and see God's family. God, like Abraham, had only one son. He doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't have any special colors or ethnic groups that he favors. He gave the Jews a great privilege of being the nation from which his son was taken, incarnation. But I'd like to just give you a note of optimism from an older man, because I believe God is taking the disintegration of your family and my family, American families and Japanese families, if you please, as well as any other group you want to mention, and God is doing something about it. He's got a family tree that beats mine all hollow, and it's called the cross. And Jesus died there, and God's love is the kind of love that has no axe to grind, has no great selfish, it's the most unselfish, this agape love that gave his son, gave us the cross and the one on the cross, so that there'd be one family. I believe God is probably going to do more for the family in the next few years than most of us ever dreamed about, if we'll just tell the story of Jesus and his love.
I don't think God's in trouble, but I still think loads of people who love Jesus Christ are having trouble in families.
And we're more interested in our grandchildren than we are in God's children, I'm afraid.
Somebody may have a different opinion. Go ahead.
I know you're talking about the family and the breakdown of the family, how you threaten inside out, confused inside out. There's this gentleman over here asking what the family means. I hear you talking about the family on this side and divorced people or single parents on the other side. And I wonder how much one of those points of view plays into the other. I'm a single parent. I have been divorced for 3 years. It was not my choice to be that way. I'm raising 4 children alone. And I will submit to you that we are a family. We are interdependent. We are close. We have physical intimacy. We support each other emotionally, physically, financially. We play together. We work together. I feel like we are a family. And yet I feel outside of this kind of circle. I feel outside of this kind of circle in my church, in my neighborhood. And I have been coming here to Holland for 4 years now, and I feel somewhat outside this circle here. I take some responsibility for that. I'm sensitive to a lot of things. But I would ask you, as upholders of the family, and as Christians in your community and in your churches and here at Holland, to really look at that and ask yourself, will you share some of that responsibility with me?
You're specifically talking about someone who doesn't have a one-spouse family. You're talking specifically about a one-spouse family, right?
I'm probably really specifically talking about people that are divorced. There are people that chose to be, and sometimes that's a good decision. Sometimes that's a better choice. It takes two people to make a commitment. And when the commitment is only one side, it sometimes is better. It's not stay up. There are people that are divorced and didn't choose. I don't like always having divorced people put on this side and the family on the other. I'm not sure that's fair.
Right. I thought he was not asking that kind of question. He was talking about people who are, all of them together, husband, wife, and everybody else. Does that make them a family because they happen to occupy the same space? The gentleman in the back. Yeah, that's what I didn't think he was referring to divorce people.
I'm not, but I'm asking him his own
question. Okay.
I heard him saying, you know, what is a family?
Right.
Can there be more my than one person?
Sure. My answer is single persons are families.
Yes, I've heard that too.
I have no question in my mind. Right, and people who are without spouse by widowhood, widowing, and widowering, or however the word comes out, and indeed by divorce as well. But so no one answered him. I'll at least stick my neck out that the possibility of family exists with all of those. But again, I don't think anybody by himself is that. I think there's more to it, and I think that's what he was trying to get at. And I would hope we'd come back to his question too. But also, maybe somebody wants to respond more to what she's saying. Yeah, this lady had a.
Well, yeah, all I was going to say was you probably have not my ideal family, but I mean, certainly you would be encompassed in what I consider family.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to hold together is a unit of people working together. People have brought in community or church or this is what we need to hold. We need to hold together, not a male-female relationship. I mean, that's the one that starts it all, but anyhow, it doesn't necessarily have to continue to be that. It could be grandparents raise children.
Someone else.
I just appreciated that reminder because I'm aware that most of the magazines that I would see that come from Christian community usually do not depict a family other than with both parents. And I think that we need that reminder.
I think we certainly need to do something about it in our churches. I'm speaking to the church in which I belong, and I had a friend recently who was divorced and was not her choice. And I tried to help her, but I thought, boy, I'm not qualified for this in many ways, but then I overheard her tell the minister she didn't know what she was going to do if it hadn't been for me. Then I thought, what, you know, why is it just one person? Well, that was me, but I felt like I wasn't enough. And it seems to me there ought to be some place for this, for these people. I mean, some way for them to feel apart. I mean, they really need it more then, because there are still families, and if they've lost one member, somehow a lot of people feel it shouldn't be a void there.
See, one of the problems with being divorced is that for the 20 years that I was married, when you say we, I was a part of that. Now all of a sudden, for the last 3 years, when you say we, I'm not a part of that anymore, and when you say they, I am on the other side. And I think you don't do that consciously.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you to be aware of that. You know? I was part of we, and now I'm they.
Right. One congregation, should there be we and they, is what she's saying. Is that right? Because it's assumed married families are the congregation, non-marrieds are something else, and so married families do something for that. That's what I hear her saying. Congregation I am acquainted with in Chicago was doing all kinds of family, very great family-oriented congregation, excellent kinds of programs for them, until suddenly one day they sat down, not too old a congregation, found out, I think it was 37% of their members were single or divorced, or whatever else, almost 40% of their membership. were not included in what they did all the time around children in a family. And they suddenly, they all together, reversed what they were about to begin to do broader things that included everybody. Didn't stop doing children things, obviously. But they were just embarrassed that they hadn't caught on what the changes had taken their place in their congregation. Somebody else? Yeah.
Yeah, I think this goes back to this man over here. Who I thought made a really provocative statement in the beginning about these layers and horizontal instead of vertical. And I think that's why we get this we today. I mean, as part of what I'm saying about my children and what I hear some of the young people saying, that they kind of tend to go off with their, of course I guess that's natural too, but their own creations for fun. But we have kind of lost what she was talking about, being to make fun in a family group. And maybe we need, like this congregation seems like, it sounds like it's really been on the ball to have been aware and done something about it once they were aware of what was happening.
I think my reference to horizontal attitude more was a matter of the effect it had on the person. The most important person or the most important people in the world to a child is his friends, and the ones that are his age. They'll listen to them and try to do things to please them quicker than they will their father or their mother or the preacher or anybody else. They're influenced by that one level. And somehow or another, we in the church need to find some way to get a little bit more of a cross association between a vertical sort of thing, I think.
The lady back there. Please.
We have five children from 19 to 30, and they're all living at home. We have a little house behind where my son lives in.
Mm-hmm.
And the remarks people make, I thought I probably would be accepted more if we had a juvenile delinquent. Why don't you make it too easy for them? Why don't you make them get out on their own? And because of them, they've only all been able to go on to graduate school or school. Or, we have a family, we have lots of fun with. We're all going to be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've, done lots of things together. It's fun in our family. And it's not that we're, you're going to stay here or you're going to do this or that. I mean, I feel that they feel that they want to be there. But now I find myself, I direct the daycare at our church, and now I'm working with probably half of the parents there are single parents. Either fathers raising their children, young fathers, or young mothers.
Wow.
And I find that, they don't have anything to do with the church other than that, but they want their children in a church daycare. And they'll come and talk to me, so I'll listen to them. But they really will come to the church and look for, and they tell me they feel that their children are going to have a different type of care in a church situation. We have old people.
Thank you. You gentlemen here, and then the lady there.
Mm-hmm. The lady speaks as a single parent family. There's another party in there too. There's some single parent just people without family.
Yep.
Father. As such a person, I really find that there's not much place for me in most churches. And I think if you ask around, you get the feeling that single guys, there's a whole different set of rules that they're out there playing with, and it's a lot of fun and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's not. And it's pretty lonesome. And if they can wake up and recognize that 40% of their congregation are way around, I would guess that number is probably low, because the single people are drifting around. They're not even there to be counted. I'd just say, maybe churches, it isn't that you can be pleased with the status quo, or that you can approve the situation that gives rise to divorce, but you ought to somehow or another give support to the people that have in the past had support from churches and supported churches who really need the church in their life. And have real needs for guidance and counsel in a situation that's really, at least for me and my generation, had no counterpart. You know, what kind of life do you lead when everything you built in your life falls apart? You know, it's there isn't any place to look for the church, and the very often it's not there. I just say that I know that every church has a kind of recognition of this, but I don't see a really dynamic thing. I don't see anything on the Sunday thing that says divorced or single people welcome at 8 p.m. on Sunday evening. I can't, and I see enough church bulletins, but I think it's probably...
I'll send you one, but I only know one.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's specific, they even have, you won't like this perhaps, they have a right for accepting and the divorced person into the parish.
Right.
They really do that. There was a gentleman here and then over here.
What are some of the bad things that are resulting from this supposedly deteriorating family unit? And is that really the cause of the things that we're thinking about, the bad things that are happening? Just putting the question.
Got any suspicions yourself?
Well, I'm not too sure that we can blame it all on that. They say, where's the family going? True, we tend to kind of think of it in the same light that we talk about the good old days. Well, how good were they?
They were different. I was there.
They were different. But we live in a different age. We do things differently. There's a lot of things that are different from when we were kids. And I really don't think we can blame it all on the family. Our influence over our children as parents and grandparents is for a shorter length of time. When they get to that point where they're off on their own, we don't have as much influence on them as did in years gone by. But still, the way the twig is bent, you know, while we do have influence over them, this is the time that we have to do our job, responsibility as parents.
Leading back. Yes?
I think the lady I was going to address my thing to has left.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, share with her.
In our church, we moved away from our church for 11 years and we're another parish and we came back. And I can surely say that most of these people that have addressed the single problem from a divorce standpoint would be real thrilled with our church because we make no distinction. Like, you wouldn't find anything in the bulletin that was particularly for divorced people because we're all one family unit and we wouldn't make that distinction. But everything that we have is like our older people who we're members of, you know, we have the Philadelphians who are young group, they do the driving things. Us last, Lutheran Adult Fellowship, do the other things. And I think that I've never seen more support for single parents, singles, divorced, otherwise, than when we have in our parish. And that's very, very, I'm very proud of that.
Very good.
Now, like I said, you wouldn't find a bulletin saying divorced people, because there's no such a thing as we're all one family, and
good to share. Thank you. Yeah. Someone up there. Oh, wow.
Okay, she just said they have an older adult and a younger adult, basically, group. I know one of the things I miss, being away from my, quote, family who are in Texas and I'm in Washington, is the association with the older group besides the people my age and the younger kids. We don't have kids at this stage of life, so far I haven't decided to have kids. But I miss the different layers. And I think we need to have a mixing of ages.
We do. We do. We have these two specific things because normally we couldn't get enough people. You can go to either or. And I mean, the children are included in some things. But it's not a, you know, one time you go to Philadelphia, it's not a group that you know, you can collect. But basically our things are so large, the amount of people that go to things are so big that
you know, we couldn't hold them if we go to houses or wherever we go. You know?
Okay, I think this lack of extended family, even though you might not always choose your extended family because of the widow or whatever, I think we need the extended family. And I think we need the association with people of all ages in different times. And I think this is where we're falling down as a family unit. Not these small families. I think the small families are so often there. It's the extended family, the backup you get from all these different family members. Most of us have favorite uncles who might have been single growing up. But you have this mixture of people in your background. And suddenly, everybody you do things with are the same type of, same age group, same interest level. And I think you need the greater group of people, the extended family.
I think seeking friendships across age lines is a really important thing. I think providing it in congregations is certainly one part, but I think also seeking it that way. Someone else had a hand. Back there, yeah, please.
Yeah, I think it's awfully important that we listen to single individuals who are saying to congregations which may tend to be nuclear family oriented, we really don't feel we belong as a member of a nuclear family. I may have a feeling that I have opened the door wide and swept off the welcome mat, and yet there are a lot of things that I'm not aware of because of my life situation that really are saying you are not welcome, or there really is not a place for you because your situation is different than mine, even though I feel that the door is wide open within the individual. I think it's important that we listen to individuals that I've heard under the edge here say that maybe I haven't felt comfortable in the usual congregation as a single individual.
Let me plug a book of a friend of mine. You know, I'd be glad to be able to tell him that I did this at Holden. It's a new book by an ALC pastor. Maybe some of you have seen it. Nick Kristoff is his name. He has a ministry exclusively to singles, mostly young adults, in Chicago, big apartment areas and all that. And the book is out of Harper and Row, and it's called Saturday Night, Sunday Morning. I thought that did enough all by itself when he did that title, because their time is Saturday night and the church's time is Sunday morning, and just doesn't seem to get together. It's a good, I think, review of at least of what's happening with singles, and then a whole lot of sections getting at your question. How do you get behind the nuclear family approach to opening the door, and opening the door from the young adult point of view? Not a bad book, Saturday Night, Sunday Morning.
Elmer?
Yeah?
It isn't, as another divorced woman who raised four kids alone, it isn't just that I think that especially divorced persons need special care, tender loving care and comfort. But being divorced isn't like being pregnant or not being pregnant. And when you're divorced, legally, that is, a piece of paper has said you're divorced, you're suddenly aware, but not able to ever talk about it, that there are many other couples in that congregation that are also divorced, but not with a legal piece of paper. There's no way to, in addition to receiving help from the congregation and the loving care, to also be somebody who's gone in the woods and come out the woods on the other side and has a special experience and understanding that can be called upon. Instead, you often or feel that you're in a sort of alienated, isolated place, which in a way you are, but you also have something to give from that experience, as we do from all painful experiences. The we they is really unrealistic and false.
We almost got in trouble at my university when our campus ministries council offered a four weeks of sessions on the divorce experience that we sponsored as a campus ministry council. And a lot of people thought, you know, here we are espousing divorce, which certainly we weren't, but we were trying to respond to the loads of people at our university. Almost 75% of our counseling is with marital problems and divorces. And these people were screaming out. And they came in droves, 40, 50 people at a time, and extended it by their request into the fifth week. I think what we did in that kind of a circle, I think you're calling for, that somebody ought to people who have been through an experience can be helpful to others.
Do we want to live by the gospel, you know? I think Jesus...
Yes! Good. I'm going to answer your question. There's a question I can answer.
When Jesus was there, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, your mother's here, and your brothers, they want to see you." And Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, the same as my mother, my sister, and my brother." And I think this is, we're going to have to learn a lot more as individuals and families and congregations to see these people who are divorced and those who never even had the privilege of getting married and those who had an unhappy marriage and they're still together. It takes a lot of love, and only the Holy Spirit can do that for us. And we need to be sensitive to what He's trying to do for us in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Oh, I thought something happened back there.
I'd just like to add one more thing in addition to those you saying that have not had the privilege to be married, that there are some who have chosen not to be married, and I'm grateful that there is less of a stigma to that than there had been within the past, because I certainly respect that choice too.
Someone else? I was hoping as we talked about all that geography thing, we'd talk about how do we get our children as they're growing up ready to go out and not to be around. Her five children, or four, whatever it was, are staying close by, but most just don't. How do we equip them to be gone, to send them off, to launch them, or whatever else it is? I think sometimes our focus on the nuclear family is so internalized that we really don't get them ready for that break that takes them away and doesn't break the family, as far as I'm concerned, necessarily, but really puts them out of juxtaposition. It is every twice a year or something, rather than every weekend or whatever it may be. There may be some of our equipping, or maybe one of the goals of the family not only is to pass on what we have, but to equip them to deal with that world around them as they're moving out. Surely get in, when they hit campus, we know that they've come into another world. Were you going to say something?
I thought of a friend immediately who said to me, he said, after he'd grown up, he said, "My father told me that whenever he dealt with me as a child, he remembered he had to be my friend three times longer than I was his son at home." And I think if we can teach children how to get to know people, how to talk, how to be interested in people, again, how to take time to be interested in another person.
Thank you. Well, it's after 10. We promised to give you a chance to go. Anybody want to stick around and talk? You're welcome.
Well, I want to say one thing.
Oh, Leo, go.
Right.
Quickly.
One more thing. You know, one of the things that really bugged me on this for much of my life is to get into a profession today, you've got to study and study and maybe spend maybe you're 30 before you get into it, and then you have to take short courses to keep up on it, considering relicensure. And yet in marriage, and the profession that is good for maybe you're going to be in it 30 years, you know. Well, I got married, I can't remember when I wasn't married. I 30 years ago. And the chief and I will be married for, she probably lived to be 90. I wouldn't live that long. But, you know, it could be 6 years, twice as long as in the profession, maybe. Yet the preparation for this, I don't know, I guess we talked to that pastor 5 minutes, didn't we, chief? And never had a course in it, huh? And there's something wrong with the system, isn't it? I think when I get to be dictator,
maybe next week,
Present himself and answer a big long, you know, like a PhD dissertation. Here, you know, but they also know whether they're going to run the route, huh? And then they have to come back to Holdner somewhere for refresher courses, maybe twice a year or something, and find out, you know, whether they're passing the test.
Thank you. Thank you once again.